Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Reading this morning from Canto 2, Chapter 7, and the texts are 43 through 45. They're grouped by Prabhupada in a cluster. Chapter 7. Ask a similar question. He says, not only I've described what you've asked, now I want to describe how the Lord appears within that creation that comes from his own energies. So he gives another listing, in some cases, as with Krishna, some elaboration on Krishna's pastimes. And then he concludes by saying somewhat contradictory things. He says, or apparently contradictory, he says, actually nobody can understand the Lord. But this means no one can understand him in his fullness. And then he describes how he can be understood to the degree that the Lord discloses himself. So, by ordinary means, he can't be known. That's been established. By special means he can be known, and the special means is by full surrender. So that's discussed in 42. He can be understood by full surrender. We'll come back and expand on that verse because it's very important for this morning's text 43, 44, and 45. Vipu, Anga, the father of Vena. Bless Anga and poor Vena. Maharaj Dhruva Ikshvaku, Aila Uchukunda. Maharaj Janak, Gadhi, Raghu, Ambarish, Sagara, Gaya, Nahusha, Vandata. Some of these are described in the ninth canto of the Bhagavatam. Alarka, Chatadande, Anu Ranti Dev, Bhishma Bali, Amurtaya, Amur Karaya, excuse me, Dilipa, Shobari, Atanka, Chibi, Devala, Tipaladha, Sarasvaka, Udhava, Parashuram, Burishena, Vibhishana, Hanuman, Shukadeva Goswami, Arjuna, Arishtashena, Vidura, Shrutadev, etc. As Varyaha, they're the foremost. So, the message in the verse is, the potencies are unknowable, but they're knowable. So it sounds like double talk. That's explained before. Unknowable by the mind, by mental speculation, forming conceptions through sense perception. They're not knowable that way. And immeasurable, because the potencies of the Lord are without limit, and the senses are limited. The limited cannot measure the unlimited. Still, because we are all surrendered souls, we know how he acts through his Yogamaya potencies, and similarly, the potencies of the Lord are also known. So it's three things. It's the Yogamaya potency is the medium through which Krishna acts, which is distinct from the material potencies through which we're accustomed to acting. We're conducted by the trigunas, the modes of nature. And the Lord is conducting his activities through his Yogamaya potencies, they're plural. That's one thing. And it's knowable that how the Lord acts through his Yogamaya potencies. His other potencies are also understood by the surrendered souls. And the third point is that there are others besides himself. Nice long list of prominent, the foremost of surrendered souls. So the force of the verse and this section is it's by the process of surrender that one can know the unknowable, one can perceive the imperceivable. At least to some extent, to the extent a tiny living entity can, and then specifically Prabhupada is saying in this purport, proportionate with one's advance of one's surrender. He doesn't even use advancement, the advance of one's surrender. I'll read the purport. All the great devotees of the Lord, as above mentioned, who flourished in the past or present, and all the devotees of the Lord who will come in the future, are aware of the different potencies of the Lord, along with the potency of his name, quality, pastimes, entourage, personality, etc. Spiritual and material potencies they're aware of. And how do they know? It goes the other direction first. Certainly it is not by mental speculation, nor by any attempt by dint of limited instruments of knowledge. That's the senses, are instruments of knowledge, by sense perception. Or extending the senses by microscopes and telescopes. One cannot fully know the Lord's material potencies, which are manifest before our eyes. For example, there are millions and billions of planets, far, far beyond the scientist's calculation. But these are only the manifestation of the Lord's material energy. So what to speak of the spiritual energy? That's a common argument. The Prabhupada presents in the Bhagavatam, he's unknowable. So what to speak of is even the limit. What's the limit of this one universe? What to speak of the billions of universes? How is this? It's unknown and unknowable. But then what to speak of the spiritual side? Unknown and unknowable by material calculation. However, the same person, if that person abandons the speculative method and takes up the devotional method of hearing properly from the proper source, this alone can lead one to the platform of knowledge. So he says, makes some assertions, and then what Prabhupada does is he supports those statements from scripture. This is our Vedic system. He chooses to quote from the Upanishads. Doesn't give the verse and text number. He just says, in the Upanishads, it is clearly said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can never be known simply by working very hard and taxing the good brain. Nor can he be known simply by mental speculation and jugglery of words. Now what he's done so far is describe the principle of sense perception, mental speculation. Neither of them, nor the extension of them, ramping up the sense perception part by instruments that make the capacity of the eyes to see, or the any of the senses more amplified. So someone was showing this somebody that lives in Florida, in the panhandle part of Florida, did a little thing on the internet where they show a picture of somewhere near Tallahassee, and then they go out by the factor of there's certain 10 feet above the ground, and by a factor of 10, and 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 a factor of 10. And then you go the other direction, back down, 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 then closer and closer and into the cell, and the micro parts of the cell, and what looks like 10 to the so many of power looks like it's the same thing that's 10 to the minus so many of power. And then, where's the limit? What are the senses doing if you go telescope or microscope? Still the limit is not known. What to speak of the source of whatever it is that you see? There was their way of saying what Prabhupada is saying. By sense perception, the truth of things is not knowable. Because the Vedic conception of truth, or absolute truth, is where it all comes from, not only what it is. Because separating what it is from where it comes from is an incomplete understanding of what it is. An object, here's a little box of cough drops, throat lozenges. So the thing isn't separate from its source of emanation. The full understanding of the thing must be understood, the Vedic wisdom says, It must be understood in relation to where it comes from, otherwise the understanding is incomplete. The truth, the absolute truth, requires understanding where things come from, and that's not knowable. The Vedas are, so take it away from these examples of microscopes and telescopes or extending the senses, and the principle of forming conceptions through information coming through the senses. That very process, because that in principle is limited, and the absolute is unlimited, even when one goes to the Vedas, which is disclosing the absolute truth, still the absolute truth is not knowable by the very same principle. Sense perception, logic and reason. So Prabhupada is quoting the Upanishads. I spent a little time searching for which of the Upanishads says what Prabhupada says it says. And in the Katha Upanishad, 1-9, Naisha Tarkena Matir Apaneya, by the process of logic, going through the knowledge of the Vedas, this is the speaker is addressing his student, you know the student's name, right? Nachiketa. Dear Nachiketa, this realization, my dear boy, cannot be acquired by logic. It must be spoken by an exceptionally qualified spiritual master to a knowledgeable disciple. Prokta nenaiva. Prokta. Prokta means speaking. Must be spoken, not by study, logic, this must imply that, by grammar, because commonly it's said Sanskrit is the gateway to knowledge. The Vedas. How can the Vedas be understood, which are written in Sanskrit, without knowing Sanskrit? So when you study Sanskrit, it's not just pronunciation and word meanings. There's varieties of meanings, and to understand which word meaning, there's rules of grammar and rules of logic. And so one can get infinitely lost in the complexities of tarka, the logical conclusion of what this word means, thus revealing the absolute truth is da 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 da. And the statement of the Katha Upanishad is, my dear boy, you can't realize the conclusion or the utterances of the Vedas by logic only, but it can be realized by the utterances of qualified persons. Exceptionally qualified spiritual masters, Prabhupada's translation. Protanyeva yenaiva su gyanaya preshta. Su gyanaya preshta. A exceptionally qualified spiritual master spoken unto a knowledgeable disciple. This is the Katha Upanishad version, the word the knowledgeable disciple. The Bhagavatam is saying not just a knowledgeable disciple, but a surrendered soul unto the personality of Godhead. We'll go back in a moment to text 42, because in text 42, what that surrendered soul means, you know, who's the qualified receiver of transcendental knowledge, because the Vedas have it, and if there's a person who can speak it, like Brahma can speak it, or Shukadeva Swami can speak it, or Narada can speak it, Sutta is speaking it. When there's qualified speakers of the Bhagavatam, who is the qualified receiver? Because the tendency is, even if we have the most qualified speaker, we hear in a certain way. We hear by our mental speculative conditioning, the patterns of our conditioned tendencies come out. And we take that conditioned tendency to the message of the Bhagavatam and try to process it and miss the message, because that's not how it's to be understood. The Vedanta Sutra, another reference very similar, because so it's very compressed, but Tarka Pratishthanat, that's the statement, by logic or argument, that's Tarka. Transcendental topics cannot be understood. Or, therefore, by the process of rhetoric, logic, argument, it's useless in helping one to understand transcendental subject matters. So, almost the same, listen again to the Sanskrit, Tarka Pratishthanat, is expressed by Maharaj Yudhisthira in the Mahabharata. The phrase that we commonly hear is Mahajano Yena Katha Sapanta. That's the last line. But the first line, Tarko Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhina. The statement, first statement is, The situation is the Gaksha has come out of the lake and the Gaksha is asking Maharaj Yudhisthira some questions, and one of those questions, somewhere towards the end, is he's asked complex questions, and he gives like a real stumper. He says, everything is so complex, how can one understand what is the right duty? And Maharaj Yudhisthira says, Tarka Pratishta Shrutayo Vibhina. Simply by studying the Vedas, which are vibhina, quite variegated. One cannot know how to come to the right path by which religious principles are to be understood. You can't even get to the right path, what to speak of. What is the right application of a principle of Dharma? So, he said, you can't know this way, then how can you know? Dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya mahajano yena katasapanta. Dharmasya tattvam, the truth about Dharma, nihitam guhaya, it's guhaya, the conclusion is hidden, it's very confidential, and it's locked up confidentially or hidden in the hearts of the perfected souls, the pure devotees of the Lord. Nihitam guhaya. And when they express, then you know. When they're, same point, when there's disclosure, then that which is unknown becomes known. But then there's this qualification that one has to have, even when there's disclosure. That's because scriptures are disclosing. So it's disclosing. And instead of seeing white, one sees black. Instead of seeing black, one sees white. So there's intelligence and mode of ignorance. Taken to the message of the scripture, they get it exactly backwards. Like, surrender to Krishna, don't surrender to Krishna. Krishna is a person. Krishna is not a person. Krishna has a spiritual form. Krishna has no form. Or the Supreme has no form. So, therefore, the focus is going specifically to surrender. So, back up a few steps. Brahma has described the forms of the Lord as they appear within this world. He has then said, no one can know him. And then he gives a list of people that cannot know him, himself included. That means the limited cannot know the unlimited. But then he says, to some degree one can know the limited. To the degree there's disclosure, and to the degree that one is surrendered. It's very, like, very, very, the steps of logic are very solid, but still, one can't know the Lord by logic. It's, the business of surrender is still waiting. And he uses two terms, which I'll mention, and the verse that follows I want to speak about tonight, so touch on this again, or go over it substantially. The word nirvyalikam is used, which is surrender without pretension. And sarvatmana, which means by all means, without reservation. Sarvatmana nirvyalikam, that kind of surrender. Without reservation. So, there's this saying, he who hesitates is lost. The holding back means no. And if the answer is, if Krishna advises surrender, the answer is, well, wait a minute. That's a no. At least it's a temporary no, but it's then the opportunity. Fortunately, Krishna gives us endless opportunity, but the opportunity of that moment is lost. And we're thinking, well, I'll do it later. And then the next moment comes, and there's still hesitation or reservation. So, supposing the answer is yes, then that's the next word. Nirvyalikam means not just say yes and still a no. It's without pretension. For such persons, they receive the favor of the Lord. It's not the Lord says, I'm only, you know, I've got my arms across my chest saying, you better meet my conditions, or forget it. It's not like, you know, he's a stern master. And you meet his conditions, and then you get your piece of candy or something. But they're in the spiritual world, because the entrance of into the spiritual world is what we're speaking about, the entrance into the internal potency of the Lord and the mysteries of the spiritual world. It's for persons who, the spiritual world is for persons who are fully harmonious with the Supreme Lord. So we have our opportunity, if we choose to say no, or hold on a minute here. I want to sort some things out first. Then, we're still under the control of the Supreme Lord, but the control is under the control of his illusory potency. We can't know him. He reserves the right. Prabhupada would say that like this, to not be known by persons who are inimical to him. Because they get into his presence and they are inimical to him, they make offenses, that they're more harmed than if they're at some distance, not knowing, maintaining their inimical attitude. So this business of surrender, here's how Prabhupada writes about it. Besides dismissing sense, extending the senses, and then agitating the mind and speculating within the mind, combination of the two, such mental speculations will only end in despair. By dismissing the case abruptly and declaring the non-existence of God, I can't figure it out, therefore God must not exist, and I become an atheist. The same person therefore ceases to speculate on subjects beyond the jurisdiction of his tiny brain. And as a matter of course, he tries to learn to surrender unto the Supreme Lord, who alone can lead one to the platform of real knowledge. So that I already read, and now he goes on. The Lord is knowable only to one who is a surrendered soul. Herein Brahmaji, greatest of all material living beings, acknowledges this truth. Therefore, the fruitless spoiling of energy by pursuing the path of experimental knowledge must be given up. One must gain knowledge by surrendering unto the Lord and by acknowledging the authority of the persons mentioned herein, the pure devotees. The Lord is unlimited, and by the grace of the Yoga Maya, helps the surrendered soul to know him proportionately with the advance of one's surrender. So this evening I'll speak more about this principle because it's super important, and the way that Prabhupada is covering it here is like checkmate. Very, very systematic presentation. The Lord acts by his yoga, for example, the Lord acts by his yoga maya potency. You know from Bhagavad Gita, by his yoga maya potency, transformed into the maha maya potency, living entities can't know him. Nam prakasya sarvasya yoga maya samavrata. He covers living entities with that transformation of his yogamaya potencies, but those who are surrendered unto him, he transforms again into his direct yogamaya potency and discloses himself, and by that yogamaya potency allows the person to know him. And then that knowing is also proportionate to the advance of one's surrender. Meaning, how much do the pure devotees of the Lord know Krishna? Bhagavatamrita explores that understanding, and most perfect, the degree of knowing is without limit, like Uddhava being sent by Krishna to deliver a message to the gopis. And when Uddhava, who's considered to be the most knowledgeable person about Krishna outside of Vrindavan, when he reaches the residence of Vrindavan, he considers that he knows nothing. Or Brahma, when he delivers his prayers after the Brahma Vimohan Lila, one of the prayers says, so many people say they know all about Krishna. hear that expression commonly. Oh, I don't know all about Krishna. But, as he says, as far as I'm concerned, I don't know the first thing, a fraction of anything about Krishna, because of Krishna's unlimited nature. So, proportionate to one's surrender, one can know Krishna, but also proportionate to one's surrender, one feels genuine humility. So now we go back to this nirvilika, not just practicing humility, or even lower, as pretending humility, but feeling humility and being fully surrendered in that feeling of humility, and then there's entrance into the Yogamaya potency, where one can know Krishna, at least to some extent. So, step back again about four or five giant steps, and this whole canto is describing the cosmic manifestation, is the title Prabhupada gave the canto. How to understand sambandh, again, the relationship of the potencies of the Lord, you know, the visible ones, the material energies, and the ones not visible, the spiritual energies. How are we to understand these things? Bhagavatam is giving disclosure, the scripture is giving disclosure, and describing how we can understand that message that the scripture is disclosing, and how we can not understand it also. And approaching this subject matter from multiple different angles, the conclusion comes up again and again, the same conclusion. It's by surrender to the person. Since surrender means that there's practical service. With a mood of minimally, I mean optimally with the mood of love, and minimally with the eagerness for establishing that relationship. The purpose of service is to act within that relationship, whatever happens, without condition, without reservation, without pretension, just to be in this is sambandha, establishing that relationship. Then how the energies are working, and how the Lord is doing what he does, and how the energy does what it does, and becomes knowable, proportionate to one's surrender. It's giving us a nice clue how to understand the creation. And once again, look at the process of trying to understand the creation that is being taught abundantly in our modern education system, and there's no notion at all of surrender. There's every notion of bullying your way with your mind and senses into the secrets of the universe. All this big hubbub of stem cell research. Besides what a demoniac thing it is. When visiting in Singapore, the devotees were telling me, because some countries have banned it because they just consider it to be so demoniac. But Singapore has banned it, and it's big time for their economy. So the governments that speak bad about it are spending billions of dollars of government money to do research in Singapore. Lots of jobs. You know, the name of the game is, well, we can, you know, medically help people when they're still in the embryonic stage, if they can have some deformed part of the body, we can just tweak things a little bit and they get a nice body. So medically, he's going to help a lot of people. That's, you know, the mode of goodness, so-called appeal. These people are just demons. The reality is they're just demons. And they want to play God, push and pull this and make whatever they want to make by understanding the secrets of, but they'll never understand the secrets of. They may understand some of the push-pull, but they're not going to understand, certainly not going to understand the whole picture, nor will they understand the source. Demoniac, totally demoniac. So by such methodology, which is getting enormous financial backing from places in the world, while they're arguing about it in the media and the floors of their academic conferences, billions of dollars are going into this program. And I ask the devotees, you know, are the people that are doing this research, are they interested in the scientific nature of this investigation, or are they interested in do-re-mi? Are they just interested in the money? And there's lots of money. So there's lots of growth of the educational institutions there. And let's see what comes out of that research. Something's going to come out. And the people that will have that information are serving that mode of goodness. So however it gets used, it'll be in mode of ignorance, mode of passion ways. And further marches the age of Kali. So that's the atmosphere in which we are living, and you know what's going on in the academic arena affects the quality of life of everybody else that's downstream from that. How the intellectuals use their intellect determines the quality of life the rest of the people have, because they're the shrestas, the most qualified persons. So fundamentally, the qualified persons need to understand, the thoughtful persons of this world need to understand what this message of the Bhagavatam is and how to apply it and get ample help in applying it, because there's ample other energy going on in the world. So lots of shelter and assistance overcoming those strong Kali Yuga forces. Of course, the shelter is there and surrender to Krishna, and that's the principle that's being pointed to. Hare Krishna. Discussion? No questions? Yeah?
Guru Maharaj, you were speaking about we access sometimes the message with filters. So how to recognize what are the filters that I'm hearing the message with? Or how do I recognize whether I'm hearing it properly, or by default I accept that there are
filters? Yeah, so it's because from that statement flows the rest. By default, we know that we are hearing with filters, and so which of them is less important than striving and striving and striving to hear differently? That is, from the heart, just hearing the message, the pure message. And to the degree that we're able to do that, we'll understand, we'll have some inkling which of the natures of the filters. In other words, we're so covered and so conditioned, we don't even know what we're doing. And so it can be pointed out, you're doing like this, and it won't register. I mean, we have it in our own experience, we have it in our experience of dealing with somebody else. If someone's hitting themselves in the head with their fist, okay, excuse me, but you know, The reason you have headaches is you're punching yourself in the head with your fist. And, you know, it's not that they just keep doing it because it's a conditioned tendency. So more important than which filters is going to the, it's like saying Pajjana Kriya is the means of Anartha Nivritti. By striving for qualitative chanting and carrying out our service in a loving mood, in a humble service mood, by that we will discover what the other things are that are going on. And then have some spiritual strength to step up.
Different personalities to understand the Supreme Lord. So is it right to understand that they're all a different, they have different understandings or gradations of understanding of the Lord?
Yes.
Like you were saying Bhakti Prahlada was one of the persons.
Yes.
But in the Bhagavatam they were discussing how Bhakti Prahlada was at least he was not having personal understanding of like how we're hearing about Krishna and Vrindavan.
Yeah.
So, I was trying to understand if, because we have different disposition of the heart.
Yes.
So it's not just hearing the message, but the, according to the disposition of our heart, the same message is understood differently.
That's right. That's definitely a fact.
So in my case, how do I understand if it's filtering or if it's
the different distances in the heart is appropriate for what is the feeling to the world. Maximize one and the same kind of thing. nationality and developing citizenship. Beyond the race, the person knowing that it's going on. Supposing you first have to refer to the device of the client, then it becomes clear in the application process. This may be true. It's clear that the end of the process, but it really doesn't matter. And the person in America, it's not difficult. Thank you.
Although, from the moment,
What did you know about Krishna that you didn't know about Krishna? That's actually what you're doing. Answer them.
Say it a different way, but the same thing. In pursuit of purity, there needs to be some expression of compassion and sacrifice of oneself to others. That's part of purity. So what outlets are there for that compassion and selfless acts unto others, which enhance and sustain and support purity? So, not one to the exclusion of the other. And not do just so much of the one that there's no attention to purity. Say the same thing in a different way, which is the process of devotion is not passive, it's active. Purity is not just a condition, and we exist in purity. Purity means we do something. That's what a pure person does. They do pure acts. So each of the things that we do, we attend to the purity of those things that we do. The purity of the worship, the purity of chanting, the purity of service to the community and husband, and the quality by which each activity is done. That's purity. In the proper mood, in the proper condition of heart. And we have all day long, every day, to practice that. It's not just, we don't separate the two. Trying to become pure and doing something. It begins at home, and it starts in the immediate relationships that we have around us. But it has its outlet beyond that also. It's part of our duty.
But just those things seem to be so valued. I don't know how to go beyond that.
Yes.
Presence,
yes. Yes. Exactly. Exactly. You look at you look at the life of Srila Prabhupada and how much he was able to do in such a short time, or within any day, or within 10 years. Like Bhaktisiddhanta, or another for example. He wrote basically an encyclopedia of the practices of worship and the teachings of all of South India. And the comment of the scholars who read the book is it would take a team of researchers, about 30 in number, a whole lifetime, to compile this. And he was doing that on the side with all of what he was doing. So there's There are certainly distinctions of capacity. So it's fair to say each of us has capacity, and our capacity by the process of surrender and service, capacity increases. But don't worry about what our, you know, somebody else is doing. We're not, you know, comparing quantitatively. But according to our capacity, we serve. And that may have, like the Hanuman and the spider, or the Hanuman and the squirrel, you know, that from Ram's perspective, each was doing their maximum. That's, according to Ram, that's the value. Yes. We don't just strive to quantitatively increase, but we do strive to qualitatively increase, or quantitatively increase, while we're striving to qualitatively improve. And our capacity is what it is. Each one of us. And another nice lesson, very nice lesson, is what one of us can do alone is quite limited compared to what several of us working together can do. But then that requires another capacity, and that's the capacity of cooperation, working harmoniously. And challenges, and a great deal of that challenge is based upon loving and trusting relationships with one another. How important that is, which is, that goes to purity. But then that increases our capacity. But take, for example, one of the services that you're involved with is the summer camps. You couldn't run a summer camp alone. That'd be silly. But with several persons, and, you know, with several persons, it has its challenges with our relationships with one another, because different people do things in different ways and so on. You know, we're not any one of us fully purified souls. Still, that effort brings a dynamic result. And put that together over a period of time, and we ourselves are growing in our capacity, and those who we're working with, the children, are growing in their capacity. How much benefit they're getting compared to what we did when we were their age, spending our summers doing other stuff. But that impression is an indelible impression on those souls. And when they come to an adult stage, at least they have a resource to draw upon that we didn't have. How they're going to use that is another thing. At least supplying them with that resource. Yep, you can take the other services that you do. Same principle.
Thank you.